So this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours calling in from beautiful Boquete, Panama, where it's blue skies and sunshine right now. Our guest speaker, Gwen, that lives in Los Tablas, is having a really hard time getting on the phone. She tried with her iPad to get in using our VoIP system, tried her cell phone, she's tried Skype for some reason. Even though we gave it a test drive, she's not able to get in on the phone. So instead of me interviewing Gwen today, we're gonna fix this problem and I'll interview her next Saturday instead. Instead of interviewing her, I'm gonna have to switch this over to just being a Q&A call like we've done before. So what that means is you can ask any question that you have about relocating to Panama and or living in Panama, and I will answer your questions. To ask a question, all you need to do is press *6, and then I will answer your question. So just a little bit of background about me. I moved to Panama in 2010 from Texas. I lived in the Dallas, Texas area, also over in East Texas, and I was just completely fed up with how hot it got in the summertime and how big my electric bill was, $400 or $500 a month for an electric bill, and fed up with the cold winters and icy winters that we had. And so I really was fed up with all of that and didn't like the direction politics was heading in the United States. I just wanted to get away from all of that stuff and move to a place where I would never need an air conditioner or heater again. And so I spent about 18 months searching all over the world, visiting 10 different countries. And when I found Panama, I knew I'd found the right place. I was real attracted to Panama because it has a very, very strong economy. It has a stable government. The people are super friendly. And because of Panama's position, it's only 9 degrees from the equator, their weather is the same all year long. So if you live by the beach, it's about 90 degrees plus or minus 5 every day of the year. Whether it's January or July, it's the same weather. And for every 1,000 feet that you go up in elevation, the temperature drops 4 degrees. So it's literally possible to pick your ideal temperature in Panama based on the elevation. For me personally, like I said, I wanted to live in a place where I would never need an air conditioner or a heater again. I didn't even want to have one. Didn't want the electric bill that went along with it. So I wanted to live in a place where my temperatures were going to be in the mid-70s during the day, maybe mid-60s at night. To me, that was perfect weather. Other people might think that's too cold or too hot, but all you have to do is change your elevation in Panama and you can change your weather. So when my husband and I moved here in 2010, we moved to Boquete and just rented a little house, 2-bedroom, 2-bath house, all furnished, everything included for $600 a month. About a year after moving here, we ended up buying that house, and that's where I still live today. So I really, really like living in Panama. I like the way that the Panamanian government has been handling this whole virus thing. It's not much fun to be in a quarantine, that's for sure, but if it helps save lives and helps reduce the amount of time that we have to put up with changes in our life, then I'm all for it. So because Gwen can't get on the phone, I'm just going to go ahead and do question and answer time this Saturday. So I'm going to go with our first person. It is a cell phone with an area code of 607. I don't see a name. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, this is Peg in New York State.
Hi, Peg.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Good. We are so looking forward to our trip. We were supposed to leave today for a 2-week stay below David. So June, we're hoping everything opens up so we can enjoy the trip. My husband Jim and I have been looking into Panama for quite some time now, and our biggest question is we're in our 60s. And a lot of the reading that we're doing is talking about health insurance as you get into your 70s. Do you have any input on that? It's a concern that maybe health insurance is not available as you age?
It is available, and you've got two choices whenever you're over 65. One is you can always just use the public health care system. They don't care how old you are or what pre-existing conditions you have, and there's no monthly fee at all, so you just pay as you go. The public hospitals in some areas are really, really good. They have the best cardiologist and best oncologist and all kinds of other things. Unfortunately, where I live in Boquete, we just have a teeny tiny little clinic. We don't even have a real hospital. But in other bigger cities like David and Panama City and some places, they have excellent public hospitals. One of the best ones is a new one that was built in the Azuera Peninsula halfway between Chitre and Las Tablas. And they're known for having just excellent care. So that's one choice that you have. The other choice that you have would be to use there's two kinds of hospitals, private hospitals and public hospitals. The right. doctors that work at the private hospitals are required to work a certain number of hours every week at the public hospital. So even if you went to a public hospital, you'd probably see the same doctor that you might would have seen if you'd gone to one of the private hospitals. So the private okay. hospitals, the costs are a lot more. By the way, at a public hospital, it's about $2 to see a doctor. For a specialist, it's $5. And you do have to go there and get registered after you get your visa, and you can make an appointment. I've seen a physical therapist at the public hospital that we have in Boquete, or the clinic. And it was only $5 to go to physical therapy. Excellent. They spoke English and everything. So the other choice that you have is to go to the private hospitals. Now, to get insurance like Blue Cross and Blue Shield or United Healthcare or some of those things, they will insure you after 65, but the cost is just extremely high. It's very, very high. But there is other insurance that's through just the private hospitals that's called MS Panama. And that's going to be your age plus about $40. So if you're 60 plus 40, that would be about $100 a month. If you're 70 plus 40, it would be about $110 a month. Now, it does not cover 100%. They only cover 85% of most things, but that's still better than you having to fork over the money.
Absolutely.
When it comes to pre-existing conditions, sometimes they will exclude certain pre-existing conditions for the first year, and then they'll cover it the second year, but only at 50%. So you have two good options, the public hospital or the private hospital. So you're not going to have to pay for everything out of pocket.
Very good. Thank you so much for the information, and we've enjoyed listening to the conversations in the past.
You're welcome. Sorry we couldn't interview Gwen this time, but we'll catch her next week. And meanwhile, I'll answer a bunch of questions.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you. Next caller is area code 508. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Jean from East Bridgewater in Massachusetts. And I have more of a housekeeping question. I'm scheduled to be on the July 17th trip, and I'm really excited about coming. But I did notice from Melissa that you folks want 90 days advance notice of passports and flight information. How does it look for us to be? Have you got any idea for that?
We don't ask for 90 days. We ask for 30 days to have your information 30 days before your tour. And it looks to me like everything I'm hearing is that we're going to be able to still do that tour. I actually think they're talking about in May that our quarantine is going to be over and they're going to be opening up the border, maybe not to all countries, like perhaps not Europe, but to North America, maybe yes, but we just won't know until we get closer to the tour. But I think by July, it won't be any problem at all.
Okay, I'm hoping so. With the deposit that we made, what kind of advance notice would you know if I need to move it to next year?
So this is what we're doing because of this unique situation that we're in. Normally, our policy for refunds or cancellations is that you would need to give us a 30-day notice if you wanted to move to a different tour. And if we know that we're going to need to cancel or postpone your July tour, we're going to give you a 30-day notice for sure. And then you have a choice. You can either move your deposit over to a different tour, or we can send you a refund, either one. But you could even let us know a week before that, you know, you just for health reasons or safety reasons or whatever, we're not requiring that 30 days anymore like we used to, because we're living under such unique times right now.
Oh, that's wonderful. I will definitely be, if I don't do it this year, I will definitely be doing it next year. I'm really looking forward.
Yeah, you know, you'll never lose your deposit. We'll either move it over to a different tour or we'll send you a refund, whichever you prefer.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 612. By the way, before I go to that question, if anybody else has a question, all you need to do is press star 6 to be put in line to ask your question. So go ahead, area code 612.
Hi, Jackie. This is Rosemary. I have a couple of questions, actually. I was wondering about dental care, how easy and how affordable is dental care there? And also, I'm thinking, do people move there and drop their Medicare if they're under Medicare insurance?
So as far as dental care goes, all I've done is have my teeth cleaned about every 6 months here. I haven't had to have any major dental work done, but I do know people that have. So the dentist that I go to in Boquete, first of all, the dentist actually cleans your teeth. It's not a hygienist. The dentist is doing it. And it's about $50 to get your teeth cleaned. There's some dentists in town that only charge $35 for a teeth cleaning, but it's always going to be the dentist that cleans your teeth. I also do that panoramic x-ray thing, and that's an extra $40 just because they can see a little bit more with the x-ray. I know some people that have had some implants done, and they're about $1,000 if you just want one. But if you're having several implants done, I know people that have gotten that cost down to as little as $500 per implant when they were doing multiple implants. A crown is about $495. A root canal is $250. So those are some general prices of what dentists cost. There is no insurance for dentists. You're going to have to pay out of pocket for that. And then as far as Medicare, some people decide to drop it, and some people keep it at least for the first year that they're here to make sure that they really like Panama before they drop it, because it is a big expense. So, and there's not one right answer when it comes to Medicare. Some people come to Panama and they just want to have a 3-year or 5-year adventure of living here, then they know they want to go back. And other people, they move here and they know this is where they want to be for the rest of their life, and there's no reason really to continue that extra expense. For me, I have international health insurance, so it covers me in Panama, in the United States, and Canada, and any other country in the world. So it's not really necessary for me to have Medicare, but when I turned 65, I had to make a decision if I was going to take it or not take it, because if you don't take it when you turn 65, there's a penalty to get into it later, which can be quite expensive. So I worked with a broker, an insurance broker, and was able to get Medicare at a really affordable price, and the insurance company I'm with, which is Aetna, they pay the first $100, and I'll have to pay like $45 a month. So with that kind of a cost, I was willing to take Medicare, but I sure didn't want to have to spend $145 plus their prescription plan and all that other stuff can get up to about $200 a month. It was too much. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And my next caller is Brian, I believe. Don't have a phone number, just says Brian. Go right ahead. Hello? I have your line unmuted for someone named Brian Decatur. Okay, go on to the next one. Next caller is Mark and Anna. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie. Hey. So we came down there in January, and we loved the place. So my question is, we had planned on moving back down there in October. So with everything that's happened, what do you think the availability of rentals are and cost-wise come October time frame in Boquete, basically?
Yeah, so I was going to say it depends on where you're going to be moving to. October is not going to be a problem at all. If you get into December, moving down in December, especially after the middle of December or right after Christmas, then there's not as many rentals available because our snowbirds come down, mostly from Canada. But if you come in October, you're going to have plenty of rentals available. And it just depends on what you're looking for. For a two-bedroom, the prices are going to range anywhere from $600 a month up to $3,000 a month and everything in the middle. So it just depends on what kind of property you're looking for.
So do you think, though, that this, you know, this pandemic is going to affect the prices of things down there?
No, you know, it might. I know some people right now that have rentals and they've lowered the price of their rentals because nobody can fly into the country. So there's no tourists, there's no people moving in. So I know people have lowered their price. But everything I'm hearing and reading from the Panamanian government and also from the U.S. Embassy is that probably they're saying that they're anticipating, all their models are showing that by May, we should be able to have some flights coming into and out of Panama again. Maybe by June, it might take until they can do all of that, but we're hoping that it'll be in May. Also, they're thinking that after April the 15th, that we would have reached our peak in virus cases here, and the numbers will start going way, way down, and by the end of May, we won't have any new cases.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yep. Next caller is area code 408. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi. This is Jean Marie and Bill from California. And we are scheduled for your October 9th trip, you know, tour. And originally our plan had been to come down and do the tour and then come back home and then eventually move to Panama in February. And we're concerned with the coronavirus coming again back in the early part of the year in the United States. So we're thinking of it just coming on down in October and doing the tour and staying and not coming back. So my question is that we're going to go for the Friendly Nations visa. And so my question is, can we, my plan would be I would fly back to California and get the rest of our shipping container loaded and then fly back. My question is, can we get the shipping containers sent before we get our complete Friendly Nations visa completed, our cedula?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, so you could even, I know some people that have shipped their shipping container down before they came on the tour, and they just had it sent to one of the storage facilities where they just kept everything, and then they did the tour, figured out exactly where they wanted to live, and then they hired a local moving company to get everything over to where they wanted to live. And that way, you could just come down in one trip instead of making trips back and forth. But okay. the other thing about a shipping container that you need to keep in mind is two things. One is that many of the rentals here come completely furnished, and so you're going to have to find one that doesn't have a lot of stuff in it. If you're shipping stuff down, it's harder to find a house that's not completely furnished. Also, some of the houses here in Panama, I would actually say a lot of the houses in Panama, they are on a road or they're situated in such a way that there's no way in the world that someone can get a shipping container to that property. For example, my house where I live, there's no way in the world a shipping container can get here. So it's going to reduce your choices of where you can live if you're shipping a bunch of stuff down here.
Yeah, my question also was as far as shipping it down would be, you know, I know there's probably storage facilities in Panama City would be storing it there for a while until we find up with our eventual place that we either want to buy or, you know, have a long-term rental.
Yeah, there's storage facilities throughout the country.
Okay. And I knew that there's a tier key storage, but I was looking at it and kind of looked, do you know what the quality of that storage inside? Because it looked like it was just like some storage containers out there.
It is. There's some shipping containers that are out there, and then they have a roof over it. I know a lot of people that have stored their things there and had no problems at all. There's also a big storage facility place in David, which is more of the kind that you're used to seeing in North America.
Okay. And you'll probably discuss those on, like, the tour, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. Looking forward to it. Also, question is that if we come over before we get our set, we can bring our dog, correct?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Next caller is area code 276. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Teresa and Clarence from Martinsville, Virginia. We just got guardianship of our mentally challenged brother-in-law, and I just wanted to know, do we count him as a dependent, or when we go to get the visas, would he have to have, like, I mean, he's 65, with the, not the friendly nations, but the retirement visa, would he, you know, proof of, what do you call that, proof of income, he gets disability. I was just questioning how we would handle that.
I believe that if you have guardianship of him, that you could consider him a dependent. So that would mean that you would just need to add an additional $250 a month to the. So it was a couple applying for a pensionado visa, that's $1,250. For one additional dependent would be an extra $250 or $1,500 a month.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. And what about the vets in Boquete or in Panama? Are they reasonable?
The vets are very reasonable. Only some of them speak English. A lot of them only speak Spanish. But it's very reasonable for vets.
Okay, thank you very much.
The other thing, also vets make house calls here too. For about $15 or $20, they'll come right to your house.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very much, Jackie. We enjoy listening to your conferences.
You're welcome. Sorry we couldn't do the interview with Gwen, but we'll catch her next
week.
No,
I'm here.
Oh,
okay. Oh, Gwen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm still trying to figure out how to work this, though.
Oh, well, then, okay, good. I'm glad you're here. All right.
Yeah,
well,
I got in. Yeah, but I wasn't sure when to speak, so.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you spoke up because I thought maybe you weren't there.
No.
Okay. So I'm going to switch gears. We've been doing some Q&A since you weren't on the call, Gwen. I was just, they were asking questions and I was answering questions. But now
okay.
I'm so glad that you were able to get in. We're going to switch gears again and we're going to do this interview with Gwen, who lives in Los Tablas. So Gwen, what I've done on some of these other interview calls is I've asked people, why did you decide to move to Panama? And when? When did you move to Panama and why Panama?
Okay. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep, they can all hear you.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'm a Canadian down in Los Tablas, which is the pretty far south down in the country. And I moved here in August of 2014. So I retired early out of Canada. And I decided to come after a few trips down. I just fell in love with it, and I decided to come down and start looking for a house or something to build, and I ended up finding some property, and I built a duplex. And the reason that I came down was I could afford to retire earlier and cheaper than living in Canada. So I came down when I was 52, I believe. And so I've been here for almost 6 years, and I absolutely love it. I love it. And I'm here by myself. I'm here by myself,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, I'm sure we have a lot of single women that are on the call, and they always want to know, well, is it safe to come down here as a single woman? As a single woman living in Los Tablas or in Panama, do you feel safe? Have you ever had any problems or where you didn't feel safe?
Right. Well, when I was making my way from Panama City to Las Tablas, the very first time I came for a visit, I came on the bus all by myself, and I came to Las Tablas at 9:30 at night. I did have someone meeting me at the bus, but I did do that travel by myself, and I felt safe. I was told it was safe, and I went on that. Now, since I've been living here, I've never had any issues whatsoever. I travel a lot around all by myself on buses or driving and stuff like that, and walking through town, and I've always felt safe. I feel safer here than I do back home in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people are respectful of here. Wouldn't you say that they're very respectful? They're very courteous. When you're just walking down the street, they say hola or buenas.
Yeah.
And they are respectful of each other and of foreigners and everybody.
Right, and you won't find, like in Mexico, they're always approaching you to sell stuff or, you know, trying to get you to talk or wherever. Here, everybody just kind of keeps themselves. You won't find them aggressive, like men don't come up on the street to me and start trying to talk to me and stuff like that. I feel very safe and very normal walking alone on the street, and they do say buena, buena, which is, you know, hello, hello, very formal, and you just get used to saying that, but other than that, no, it's lovely, actually. It's very relaxing.
So when you moved to Panama, did you already know Spanish?
Span-English, I call it.
Spanglish.
Yeah, right. I studied Spanish on and off probably 5 years before, so I did have quite a bit. I had all the basics. And then before I moved here in 2013, I did take a six-month course at my university just for something to do and keep me excited and focused about moving. And I really enjoyed that. I don't know if it helped, but, you know, it gave me something to focus on. Now, building a house, I built a house here with a builder and the crew that knew no English, and I learned a lot of construction vocabulary very quickly in Spanish, and everything turned out perfect. So I think once you get down here, you know, to feel more in the community, it's nice to learn some Spanish, but I don't think it's necessary. I live in Las Tablas, and you will not find very much English here. It's an older town. It's in southern Panama. It's a very quaint town. It's where we have one of the biggest festivals of the year. But the people here don't speak much English because it is an old, old community. A lot of old people here, which is lovely. And they're introducing it, of course, in the schools. But you're not talking to the little ones all the time. But the older ones, no, they don't speak Spanish. But you get by. They're very patient. And, you know, they usually know what you want. So I wouldn't let knowing Spanish stop you.
Yeah, and even if you just know a little bit of Spanish and a really big smile, it goes a long way in Panama.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So out of all the places to move to in Panama, why did you pick Las Tablas?
Well, I do have a few friends from Canada that moved here before me. And they weren't fully retired at the time. And so I kind of just came here first because I rented a friend's house. That's where I stayed the first time I came. And I kind of had a friend of a friend, you know, tour me around and stuff like that. So I kind of met friends right away because they were from Canada. So there's kind of a small group. And because I met them, that gave me a little bit more security to move right here. Now, had I had something like your group, Jackie, I would have signed up in a heartbeat and took the whole tour of Panama, especially being by myself. I would have been in like crazy. And I know now living here that I probably would live in a different location than Las Tablas, and only because of the heat. This area is extremely hot, and I found out that my body doesn't like the heat all the time. And I think I would have preferred up in the Boquete area or up in the mountains a little bit. But I still love it here, so I don't really complain about it or anything. But I'm saying if I would have had a group like yours, I would have explored first. for sure.
Yeah, that's one of the big pluses of going on the Panama relocation tour is we show you a variety of different areas and a variety of different price points, just so you get a good overview of all the different areas. And usually during the tour, somebody's going to say, aha, this is exactly what I've been looking for. And it's different for every single person. But just by having that overview, it gives you more variety instead of just picking one place. So you mentioned that it's pretty hot there. Is it hot all year long? And what about the humidity?
Well, we're in summer, as you know, right now, and we will get our rainy season will start come June. And when I say rainy season, I don't mean like monsoon rains or anything like that. It might rain for like an hour, and then it'll be hot again. Our average temperature in this part is anywhere between 32 to 34 in the summer, and that's pretty consistent. And the humidity is not that bad. Some Floridians say that it's hotter in Florida. I don't know. I don't know Florida. So I don't find the humidity that bad. I might have in the beginning when I first moved here, but I don't anymore. I find sometimes in rainy season, the humidity can be bad for, you know, if it rains and didn't you get that heat mixed with the rain, the humidity might be bad for an hour or two, but it's not bad. It's not intolerable anyways. Not for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in your house, do you have to use air conditioning most of the time, or is it tolerable to just have the windows open and have some breeze?
Right. When I first moved here, I was renting a home that didn't have air conditioning, only in the bedroom. And so I climatized for the first 2 years until my home was built. I put air in my home, but I only use it at night. And I don't use it every night because I've climatized. I don't think it would be good to be in your house 24/7 with the air on and not have windows opened and stuff. I have my windows open. There is a breeze, and right now we have a breeze happening right as I'm talking. So it's nice. And then at night I'll put the air on just to cool the room off, and if I leave it on, I leave it on. If I don't, I just sleep with the windows open. So it's hot, yes, during the day, but still you can be inside without having the air on. You can just have the fans on, and it's fine with a breeze.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
So Gwen said that she built a duplex, and she lives on one side of the duplex. She rents out the other side of the duplex, and I've been there to the rental. We've also showed it to the tour group a couple of times. It's got the best kitchen, granite countertops, lots of countertop space, huge bedrooms, a really, really nice place. So but it's a two-bedroom, two-bath. Is that right, Gwen?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So
it's just under 1,000 square feet, just a smidge.
Yeah. So in Las Tablas, and yours rents for, is it 600?
600 including the electricity, yes.
Okay. And so is that pretty much a typical price in Las Tablas, or what would you say the range are for rentals there?
I wouldn't be the best one to know that. I know just by talking to other people that rentals here are hard to find. Rental would be very different because it is it would be classified as a high-end rental because I only rent to international travelers or people who are visiting Panama. I don't rent it per se like to Panamanian people where they just move in and would stay here forever. So is it typical for a rental for international living? Yes, I would say so for this area. The beaches may be a little bit more expensive. I don't know. I don't really have anything to compare it to. I was told by someone that works in real estate and works in rentals that I have one of the best rentals showing in the whole peninsula of the Azores.
I agree with that 100% because I've seen a lot of the rentals, and yours is absolutely the best one. By the way, it's on our website on Panama Relocation Tours under rentals. You can see pictures of it on there.
Yeah.
So Las Tablas is it's about 10 minutes to get to a beach from Las Tablas. Is that right?
It's a little bit more than that, maybe 12, just under 15 minutes. It depends if there's cattle on the road. But
so
Yes,
you know, a lot of people think they want to live at the beach, and there's some beautiful beaches there. Playa Ubarito is close to there. It's a really pretty beach, a nice little beach community. But when you had to decide where you were going to build your house and where you wanted to live, you chose to be closer to town. Why did you choose to be closer to town as opposed to at the beach?
Okay, a couple of reasons. One is I wasn't driving at the time. I just found it a little bit too crazy to drive in Panama. I was a little bit leery of the driving, so I wasn't ready to run out and buy a vehicle right away. So, and honestly, I didn't miss giving up my independence for a while because the taxis here are so cheap. I had 3 private drivers, and you know, to go to the beach from here, it would, you know, cost me about $5 at the time to get to the beach, so that wasn't bad. So that was one of the reasons. I didn't want to be out of town because of conveniences. Like, I could walk to the stores. I could walk to the bus depot if I needed. I could walk anywhere I wanted to go. I could walk or take a really quick taxi ride. So that was one of the main reasons. After meeting people, friends of mine that do live on the beach, one of the biggest complaints is the bugs here at night. They're saying that you can't sit out at night on the water because you just get eaten by the chytras. And so that was one of the main things that turned me off was that. And also the beaches can be a little bit more noisy because here, I'm just speaking here from experience, not everywhere in Panama, of course. Just our little beaches down here are just on the weekends. They have the people who own the houses down there. They just come for the weekend. And they just use it as a weekend kind of house and, you know, stuff like that. So it's a little bit more people coming and going. So I really didn't care for that. But mainly it was because I didn't have a car and because of the bugs.
Yeah.
So
and the convenience,
because I love the convenience here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that I think the internet and just utilities in general are a little more reliable close to town than they are out by the beach, too. Is that right?
Yeah, I know for sure that in Uvarito Beach, Mensabe, Las Comadres, there's about 5 beaches that are really close to each other. They always have internet and water issues. So for that reason too, that wouldn't make me happy, especially internet, because I do a lot of calling back home, and plus I teach English online sometimes and I need the internet. And in town here, I never have a problem with the internet, like hardly ever, unless there's a big storm or something, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about electricity? Does your electricity go out very often there?
Not often, but usually if you go online, there's a site you can go online and they'll post when the electricity is going to go off. And it's usually because they're repairing the lines or they're putting in a new subdivision or whatever, and they have to shut the power off. Not very often, not in town.
Yeah, it's the same here in Boquete. On the Facebook page for the electric company, they say, you know, in this area we're going to have we've got to replace a transformer, and the power's going to be out between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. or 8 a.m. and noon. But they let you in tomorrow. They always let you know in advance so you can kind of prepare for it. The other thing is that many of the houses in Panama, they don't use electric stoves. They use gas stoves. So if the power is out for some reason when you wake up in the morning, you can still boil water and you can make your coffee. If you have a French press, or you can make some hot tea. You just learn to adjust your life a little bit for just in case you don't have electricity. Sometime you learn to have some candles and have a good book that you can sit and read and just wait till it comes back on. It's going to come back on. Usually it's only out for 5 or 10 minutes. Sometimes it's out for a couple of hours, but it's rarely out for longer than that. It's not that much of an inconvenience once you get used to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some other questions that I know people are curious about is, what about the health care there in Las Tablas? Have you had any experience with doctors or dentists in that area?
Yes, I have. The first 2 years, I have asthmatic bronchitis. In fact, I'm just coming off that, so I've been quarantined 100% of my house. I haven't left outside at all. So the first 2 years I was here, I got really sick. with my asthma. And I think it was because of the temperatures coming from Canada and then coming here and being in full-time heat just did something to me. So I was in and out of the clinics or the hospital a lot. And I would pay $2 to go into the hospital to see a doctor. You know, they would do a couple of tests on me. That would be it. And then write up my prescription. And my prescriptions at home, I'd have two insurances, cost me a lot. And I come here, I don't have any special insurance from home because I'm very, very healthy. I'm not on any medication. So I'm kind of like the pay as you go. So when I got sick, I just paid the medication just right out of my pocket. I didn't get reimbursed by anybody. And it was so much cheaper than at home with double insurance. And I don't get sick. I have not been sick in years and years until just lately. I've had a little bit of asthma and bronchitis, and it was due because I went back to school and somebody got me sick. But I'm fine now. I'm over it.
Yeah, Gwen's a teacher.
Yeah, and I've also had
at one of the local schools, and it seems like every year that first week when you go back to school, that being around all those kids, you get a bit of a cold.
Yeah, it's always the first, and then I don't get it for years again. And I've also had dental surgery here. I had an abscess in the middle of the night. I woke up in the middle of the night, if you can believe it. I've never had any dental problems, and I went to emergency, and they told me right away what I needed to do. I went, I had the tooth extracted, and they did a little bit more on that. Anyways, the surgery cost me $300 to fix everything, so that was a blessing. So I've had a few things where I've had to run to the hospital. Like I said, I pay as I go, and I find everything so cheap and so reasonable. Like there's a lot of stuff you can get here without prescription that you need a prescription back in Canada. And I find that what they do, and I don't know if you've experienced this, Jackie, but when you get a prescription, they write it on the paper for you. You take it to the clinic, and they give you the prescription back again. So you can actually take that prescription again and keep going to get it filled without going to the doctor.
You can just use it over and over again.
That's
on the on the last tour that we did, there was a lady that came down with a prescription from Florida. And she said, written by a doctor in Florida, and she said, "Do you think I can get this filled here?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. You know, go to the pharmacy and find out." And it was one of the drugs that it's necessary to have a prescription here in Panama. The only things that you need a prescription for in Panama is if it's an antibiotic, a narcotic, or some nerve medicines like depression or anxiety medicine. You need a prescription for those. But other things, you don't need a prescription for it. Anyway, this fell into one of those categories. And she said that for her to just buy that over the counter with a prescription in the United States, it's $1,500. For 1 month's supply if you get the name brand. So she would always just get the generic brand, and even then with insurance, her out-of-pocket was over $200 a month to get that insurance. So she came to Panama with that same prescription, and she got the name brand for $100 as opposed to the $1,500 it would have cost in North America. So not all medications are going to be cheaper. Some of them are going to cost more. Some of them are going to cost less, but that's just one example of a huge difference in the price of why it's so expensive there and more affordable here. I don't know. It's the exact same medicine. I don't know why there's such a price difference.
Yeah, no, it's I've had family members bring their list of medications, and they've filled them down here way cheaper than at home. So,
So, but you just mostly use the public hospitals. When you said $2, I knew it was a public hospital. So you don't need insurance for that. You just pay as you go. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And you know, and since I got my residency, for example, I had a friend that accidentally ran over my foot last year. And it wasn't fun. The car was on my foot. So they took me to emergency to the hospital. And, of course, I was kind of out of it. But they paid the $2 to take me in, and they took me right away, obviously, because you could see the tire tracks right on my foot, and I was kind of like in a little bit of pain. And they gave me the pain medication right away. They took me for x-rays right away. Everything was all fine and good. They wrote me a prescription. I didn't pay for anything. nothing. And I was told it was because I had residency, and I didn't pay for the x-rays. I didn't pay for any of the other tests they did. I didn't pay for the pain medication that they gave me. My friend paid the $2 to go into the emergency room. That's it. So I don't know what happened there. Somebody said that if so I was like, wow, I would never have gotten treated like that at home that quick and got out of there without paying anything, that's for sure.
Yeah, so. we've had a few medical emergencies during a tour. I remember one time a lady, her feet were really swelling up, and she just knew something wasn't right. So we took her to the emergency room in Santiago, and they started an IV right away, determined she had super high blood pressure. So they gave her some IVs to bring that back down and some medication, and the doctors, the IVs, and everything they did. Her total cost was only $4.50. So try getting those numbers where you live, everybody. This is just not going to happen. One of the things that you notice about the doctors here is they really do put the care back in healthcare. If they see on the street, they're going to remember your name, and they'll say, everything okay? They'll often give you their cell phone number and say, if you're not better tomorrow, give me a call. So it's a very different environment when it comes to healthcare here.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, because we're speaking about healthcare. Yesterday, I happened to be, well, I heard a lot of noise going down our street. I live on a dead-end street. Like, there's no pass-through, so there's not very much traffic. And everybody's in their house because we're all 100% quarantined here in Panama, meaning we have different days and times where we can go out. So I happened to go outside, and I see the big medical vehicle coming down the street with, in the back, there was about 8 medical people dressed with, like, almost like the Red Cross. They had big Red Crosses on. They had their mask on, but they were dressed like doctors. And they went to every house. They came to my gate, and they asked if I was working, if I needed any medication, if I need my temperature taken, if I need food. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it. And I said, no, I was fine, and they went on to the next house. And I know we're doing that at all our stores, taking temperature and stuff like that. But just that little extra thing to come down the street and make sure everyone is okay, I just thought, wow. Like, I was impressed.
Yeah, they're doing that throughout the country, just because some people they don't even leave their house very often. So they're sending out people with bags of food and just checking on everybody to make sure they're okay, just in case they don't have family close by. So I think Panama has, you know, it's been an inconvenience, this whole quarantine thing, for sure. But I think Panama is handling the situation very well to keep our numbers down as low as possible. And hopefully it'll all be over soon. I can't wait.
Yes, I want to go back to school.
I want to go back to doing tours. I miss doing the tours and meeting people and showing off our beautiful Panama. But meanwhile, I'm just staying home. So another question that comes up, because you had your house built and everything, what would you say are your typical expenses, your monthly expenses, like electric bills, cell phone bills, things like that? What are some of your living expenses there in Las Tablas?
Okay. My water bill is $7.99 a month, and I have two properties of landscape things. So that's watering plants all the time. So that bill is about $7.99 a month. My internet is $40 a month. And that comes with a landline and stuff like that. And what else do I pay? My electricity, if I run my air conditioning 6 to 8 hours a day, including, you know, lights and TV or anything I need to plug in, if I run 6 to 8 hours with the air, my bill is about $55 a month. So $55 a month for electricity, $7.99 for water, and my internet is $40. And my cell phone, I buy minutes, so I don't have a data plan. I only buy minutes, so it might cost me $3 or $5 for 800 minutes on my phone. So that's it. So,
yeah. By the way, with a water bill in Panama, you just pay a flat fee. They don't have a meter on it. It's unlimited use. Whatever you need, it's unlimited use. So they're not going to charge you more if you use over a certain amount.
Yeah. But that's it for me. So it's usually under under $100. I do rescue animals. I am part of an organized rescue group here called Patita Santanas, and I personally finance and look after 20 cats along three properties here. And so they're my biggest bill, but they're still not that expensive compared to home. So I heard somebody asking about veterinarian care. I work closely with the animal hospital here in Las Tablas, as well as one of the top veterinarians that does all our spay and neuter clinics. And unbelievably reasonable. It's $30 for to spay a cat or neuter a cat, and $35 for a dog. So, and then when we have clinics, it's usually by donation or minimum $5, which is pretty, pretty generous. And I can't speak for all of Panama, only Las Tablas. Our vets here are very, very good. They do house calls, like Jackie was saying, and they have helped people who could not pay for their bills up front. I don't say they run credit all the time, but you know, if you run into a situation with your animal, they're very generous here. So I'm very happy to be able to work with these kind of vets and do what I do with the animals down here. So it's a good place.
Yeah.
Just wish they wouldn't live on the street so much.
Yeah. You know, some areas in Panama, they have more street dogs and street cats and strays than other areas. Is that a problem there in Las Tablas, the street animals?
Yes, unfortunately it is. We're considered, Las Tablas is considered one of the oldest cultural towns that hold on to a lot of culture. I guess they are, our population and our people that live in this town are very old, and they don't take much to these roaming animals, so there's a lot of them. It's changing. They don't really see them. I guess they're invisible when they walk by them. So we do have a lot of cats. We have mostly a cat problem, and on the beach we have dogs. But we're getting better. We're doing lots of clinics and education in the schools now. So we're trying to get the education out there, how important it is to spay and neuter. We do a lot of trap and release, but unfortunately in this area, there are a lot of animals on the street. So if that's something that you would like to get involved with, get my number. But if it's something that would bother you, maybe check out, you know, where you're going to go and see if it really would bother you. Because I know some people can't handle seeing a lot of animals on the street. So, like I say, it's getting better. It is getting better. The government is working with a lot of organizations in Panama, rescue organizations. But it's baby steps, and that's what we're doing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you've been in Panama for quite some time, and I know you go back to Canada every once in a while. Are there things that you really miss from Canada?
Other than my family. you know, you learned what you can do without. As far as products and materials, sometimes I do, but not to the point where I, you know, I think, oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. Because, you know, I found a lot of stuff. Being vegan, I'm vegan, I can get stuff from Panama City, and I know, Jackie, you've been generous to help me out that way on your travels. So, honestly, product-wise, food-wise, material-wise, no, not. I just miss my family more than anything, and I don't miss the cold weather. So I'd have to say no. I'd have to say,
yeah,
there's not too much.
Yeah, plus it's a lot more expensive in Canada.
Exactly. Yes. I was just there in November for 2 weeks, and it was like, oh, my goodness. Everything felt so expensive when I was there. Even when you're staying at your family, you still spend money, you know. And I just thought, wow, you know, you don't realize how good you have it until you get back here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So about Panama, are there some things that, other than the stray animals that you have to deal with there in the Las Tablas area? And honestly, I've been coming to Las Tablas for 10 years now. 10 years ago, it was much worse than it is now.
Yes.
Every single year, it gets better and better and better.
Thank you.
And I know a lot of that is because of you. Before long, it's not going to be a problem in Las Tablas anymore. But
That's
what
right.
are some things that you really, that just irritate the heck out of you about Panama? Is there anything about that you don't like?
Yes, there is, actually. I find, and this is, again, only personal opinion, and only because you asked, I find that Panama is a very noisy country. They like their music very, very loud, and they like their fireworks every occasion, any time of day. And that's all fine and good. I don't like to be the Debbie Downer on any of that stuff, but just sometimes it's just too much, you know. Mm-hmm. And but now you just learn to tune it out and you accept it. If I could change that, and I really think now after this virus thing, we're going to have a lot of changes here in this area anyways, because I live in Los Tablas. I live in a place where we have the largest carnival next to Rio. Okay, and when carnival hits here, it's a tormenting week of just noise and everything else. But that's the only thing that I would change, the fireworks, and just tone the music down a little bit. It's just a little too much, you know. That's it. But you get used to it. But it's just that like I know my neighbors, I mean, they blow fireworks right off in front of your house. You know, it's just so dangerous and it's so loud. And it's those are the things that just really upset me. And there's nothing you can do. It depends when it's done, if it's Christmas or New Year's or a birthday. They just do it. You know, there's no law against it. So that's really the only thing, is the music, the loud music and the fireworks.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we talk to people about during the tour is when you're looking for a rental property or looking at where you're going to buy or build, is visit that area several in the morning, visit it at 5 o'clock at night, visit it on the weekends and on weekdays, and see what the noise level is like. And some areas in Panama, there is, especially like in Boquete, downtown Boquete is way too noisy. I could never live there. You hear the music, you hear the fireworks, you hear the cars and the motorcycles, and you just hear everything. But I live 8 kilometers from downtown, so, and I'm 1,200 feet higher, so I don't hear a single thing where I live except the birds. So it all depends on where you live. But some people, there's trade-offs. If you want to be close to town and be able to walk to the grocery store and walk to the restaurants and have all those things, and the trade-off is you're going to have more noise wherever you live. And if you want the peace and quiet, then you're probably going to have to get a car, because it's just not convenient to grab a bus or a taxi every time you want to go get things in town. So, but there are places where you can live in Panama where it's quiet and tranquil, but it's not going to be close to town, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think after this this new wave that we're all going through, as the world turns, so to speak, I think Panama will be doing some changes when it comes to the fireworks and the noise. And because I don't know in your area, Jackie, but here we're not allowed to play any music in Las Tablas or around Las Tablas here. There's a band of no music, which is so nice. But, you know, say they might look at changing and that. But like I say, after a while, you learn to tune it out. And I find the beaches are worse on the weekends for music and noise and stuff like that. But like I say, you do your homework. Do your homework, that's for sure.
Yeah, do your homework. Or another thing is have a good friend that lives in a place that's quiet, and you can go visit them when it's carnival. Hint, hint.
Hint, hint.
Right?
Yes.
So next time when it's carnival, just lock it up and come on up here for the 5 days.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm afraid to go there, folks, because I don't want to fall in love with Jackie's area, because then I will want to move there. And I can't move because I have 20 little fur babies that need me here. So unless I adopt them all out, then, you know, then I would go.
Yeah, but, you know, you're welcome to come and visit anytime.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
So, Gwen, do you mind if I open it up for some questions from the people that are on the call?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So if you have a question for Gwen about living in Las Tablas, then I'm going to go ahead and unmute your line right now. So I've got area code 774. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. Hey, Gwen. This is Jim and Kate from Kingston, Massachusetts. I actually have a question for you about the rainy season, because we're coming into spring and it's been like dark and gray and rainy and gloomy for it seems months on end we haven't seen the sun. So in the rainy season, do you go days without seeing the sun, or does it usually brighten up to, at some point in time during the day?
Okay. In Los Tablas, there's always the sun, even when it's rainy season. It'll get a little overcast, and it might rain for an hour at the most, and then the sun is there. Like, it's, we don't get those gray, blue, depressing days here. The sun is usually out all the time. Like, it'll be overcast. Like, for example, this morning was a bit overcast because we're going to be getting rain in the next few weeks, hopefully. It'll be overcast, and then about the next 10 minutes after, the sun's out. So it'll rain, and then the sun comes out. So we don't have those long blue-gray days, no. Not here in this area, anyways.
Yeah, and in Boquete, usually we wake up in the morning to blue skies and sunshine. And if we do get any rain, it's going to be in the late afternoon, maybe starting about 4, 5, or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So you'll see it starting to cloud up a little bit, and it might rain for 30 minutes, and then the clouds go away, and it's back to blue skies and sunshine again.
Exactly.
The month of November, sometimes we get a little bit more rain on those months, but even then, there's rarely a day when you don't have sunshine.
That's excellent, right. Excellent. That's good for the soul.
Yes,
okay.
Sure.
Next question is Donna. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Miss you.
Hey, it's so good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you, too. I've got a couple of questions, and I forgot her name. But
Gwen.
Gwen. Hi, Gwen.
Hi. I can hardly hear you.
Okay. Let me see. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's better. Yeah.
Okay. A couple of questions. One question I had for you is, what did your family in Canada think when you said you were moving to Panama?
Well, being a woman over 50, they just thought I was losing my mind. I just had brothers and sisters. My mom and dad aren't around anymore. They weren't surprised. They knew that I was going to visit a couple of times before making the full decision, and it was just. They just accepted it. They weren't nervous or tried to talk me out of it. They were surprised. They knew for years, though, I was looking at a tropical destination to retire. So they knew I was on the hunt for something, some country that I could move to. So it wasn't overly a big surprise. But they were just a little nervous with me coming down by myself at first.
Yeah. Have they come to visit you?
Oh, my gosh. I can't get rid of them.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, my other question is there any talk of 5G coming into Panama, or what's the deal with that?
Well, there is 5G in Panama. There's in Panama City. I know we're going to eventually get 5G here. I don't know anywhere else in the country. I'm not really up on it. I just know that 5G is in Panama City. I don't know about where Jackie lives, and they talk about it coming here, but their timelines are a lot different than what we're used to. When they say, yeah, it's coming, it could take, you know, a few years or a few months or weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I'm just concerned about the health issues with that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just know they have it in Panama City. I don't know if it's anywhere else in the country. Do you know, Jackie?
Yeah, no, it's no place else. And I know where we are, where I am, I only have 3G. I don't even have 4G. So,
yeah.
Okay, that's
we're way behind the times here, which is good. Yeah. We also don't have any airplanes that fly over where I live, so we don't have any trails. We don't have any of that.
Same down in this area too. We don't have the planes flying over here.
Okay, that's nice. So, okay. All right. Oh, one other question. I heard the answer about the dentist earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for what they call a smart dentistry, which is holistic dentistry. I know there's one in Costa Rica, but I wasn't sure if there's like smart dentistry in Panama. It's holistic
Well, I know that Panama prints a directory out, and they have every doctor in this. You would just have to do your homework. I'm sure they have. I mean, I'm sure they would have that in Panama City or something similar to it. They're pretty mm-hmm. advanced in a lot of the stuff in Panama City. I'm pretty impressed with the things you can find in Panama City as far as Medicare. So it would be something that you would just have to look in once you get down here.
Yeah, we have it's amazing the different technologies that are available here with dentists and doctors and mm-hmm. everything. You'd think that in our little bitty country we wouldn't have that, but we do.
Yeah.
So next question. We're only going to do maybe 5 more minutes of questions instead of keeping Gwen on the phone for a long time.
That's okay.
So next question is area code 503. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much. This is Teresa from Oregon. And, you know, I've heard several times people talk about the driving in Panama. And so my two questions, I guess, are my two worries about maybe moving there is, do you get used to it and does it get easier? And then the internet, as far as I work from home, so I was actually kind of hoping to move there and be able to work from home but need the internet. So, you know, how reliable is that?
Right. Well, I do drive now. I do have a car. You do get used to it, yes. After a few years of just watching how people drive, you do get used to it, and you just become a little bit more vigilant, you know, when you're driving. I don't drive in Panama City only because I don't know Panama City. Could I drive in Panama City? I'm sure I could, but I don't choose to. I don't go to Panama City very often unless I'm flying in and out of it. But here I drive. You get used to it. Yeah. You do. And the second question about the internet, in town here, I have no problem with the internet. I had high-speed internet when I was doing teaching online. I had to have a very good internet speed, and I had no problems in town. So that would be something, again, you would have to do your homework wherever you're thinking of staying and find out from the provider just what kind of high speed. They're pretty good everywhere with high speed except the beaches and stuff. But again, you'd have to just talk to an internet provider when you're here and find out what they're looking at.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One of the things that you'll want to do is find out, if you're considering renting a property, is find out who is their internet service provider. Some internet service providers offer fiber optics, like Cable Onda.
Yes.
They have fiber optics. That's what I have at my house. I have fiber optics. I have 100 megabits of internet speed, which is the lowest that they have, and I could get up to 600, but I don't need 600. 100 is more than enough. But
right.
before I had fiber optics on my street, all I had was satellite internet, and then I was only getting about 10 megabits of internet speed, and it was quite expensive. It was still reliable, but pretty darn slow. So
yeah.
if a high-speed internet's important to you, it'll be important to look at the Cable Onda website and see where their service area is for fiber optics.
Yeah, I'm with Cable Onda, and I don't have I don't have fiber optics yet here, but I do. What they did offer me when I had to be on this high speed was the speed that they use for teleconferencing and stuff. So it was very good. I can't remember what the speed was, but it was
yeah, I think it's 25 megabits of internet speed, which once again is more than enough. You can
right.
stream videos and do anything that you might need to do.
Excuse me.
So Gwen's voice is getting ready to give out. I've got one more caller that we're going to take. And just as anonymous, I don't know the phone number. I've unmuted your line.
Okay, this is John from Minneapolis. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you.
So these are just some general questions. My wife and I are going to be going there for your tour next February. We're curious as to what, you know, we're used to our local U.S. television up here. What kind of television can you get down there? Is everything in English? Can you pick your region?
Do you want me to answer that, Jackie?
Let me answer, because you've got a tickle in your throat.
Yeah, I'm just going to grab some water, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, go get your water. So you can get cable TV, and usually when you get internet, then you get a package that's internet, cable TV, and a landline, like she said, for about $40, $50 a month. And the cable TV is going to have about 250 channels. Some of those are going to be in English all the time, and some of them are in English part of the time, like some of the movie channels. You might watch one movie in English, the next movie is in German, the next movie is in Italian, and the next one's in Spanish. But the news channels and sports channels and things like that, some are in English and some are in Spanish. So you can do the cable TV route. What I did instead is I have an Amazon Fire Stick, and on my Amazon Fire Stick, you can install certain apps that give you access to ABC, NBC, Bloomberg, ESPN, Fox, the movie channels, all those different things, and it's going to be all in English. So you can just do cable TV, and you're going to have some choices in English. A lot of the, like, football and things like that, it might be in Spanish only, but there's certain places where you can go, even with cable TV, to watch your sports in English. But if you want to make sure you've got everything in English, I would recommend getting a Fire Stick and installing the apps. Now, I am technically challenged. So luckily there's a guy here in our town that he will sell you your Fire Stick. He'll load it up with apps. He'll come out to the house, plug into your HDMI thingy on your TV and show you how to use it and show you how to get to everything. So, and then there's no monthly fee. You just pay the price one time for your Fire Stick, and there's no monthly fee, and you have access to everything in English.
And that'd be linked to internet as well. And generally, what's the better rates of speeds of internet you can get? Does that depend on area or?
It depends on the area. Yeah, if you're by the beach, it might be 5 megabits of internet speed. If you're in Los Tablas, it might be 25 megabits of internet speed. If you're in an area that has fiber optics, 100 megabits of internet speed. So the answer in Panama, the number one answer in Panama for every question you ask is it depends. It depends on where you are. Yeah. Doesn't matter what your question is, my answer is going to be it depends. Because if you say, what's the internet like in Panama? Well, it depends. Are you in Panama City? Are you in Las Tablas? Are you in Puerto Aranjuez? Are you in Volcan? Are you in the east side of Boquete or the west side of Boquete? So it just depends.
Yeah. Okay. Can I chime in on this?
Yeah, go right ahead.
To further his question quickly here. Okay, so I don't have the cable. I don't watch cable TV here. What I came down with was an Apple box, and I have all my channels through the Apple. Of course, you have to have internet. Now, my neighbor, he's from Canada. He likes all his sports from the States and from hockey and stuff. So he also has an Apple box, and he has a those play boxes where you can load those apps like the NHL and all the sports apps, and he watches all his sports through that. I know he doesn't have cable as well. We don't buy the cable because we watch Netflix through the Apple box, and there's a lot of streams too that we get for free as long as you have the internet. So I've never really heard anybody complain about TV or what you could watch down here. I think when you get down here too, you have your favorite shows and that, but you find your life changes a little bit and you move away from some of the TV.
Yeah, a lot of people, especially news, people are just fed up with the news, so they just quit watching it. You keep up on what's going on with Panama news. You want to know what's going on here, but in Canada or in other places, you say, it's their problem. I'm not there anymore.
Yes,
so
right.
You just kind of leave that whole news thing at the border, and you just focus on living a whole new life whenever you get here to Panama. So usually this is a one-hour call, but because we got started a little bit late with Gwen and being able to get on the call.
I can take a few more questions if you want, Jackie. I can take a few more.
Is it okay?
I got some water. I'm fine. It was the air conditioning blowing on me.
We'll do a couple more then. Okay, we've got Brian, I believe. I've unmuted your line. I think it's Brian Decatur. Nope, not there. Next one. Mark and Anna, I think. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jackie. So my question was about Boquete again. Is there like many schools in that area that require like before and after care programs or anything like that, child care stuff in Boquete area?
There is, and you should know that the schools in Panama, most of them, the children only go to school half a day, so they're either the morning shift or the afternoon shift, and then there are some before or after places for children to go to. If their mom and dad has to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and they don't start school until after lunch, then there's places where the children can go to, and then that facility gets them to the school.
And for my daughter, if she were to come down there with us, she's 21, so she'd have to get a Friendly Nations visa?
She wouldn't have to, no. If she has a pension and she has a lifetime income of at least $1,000 a month, then she can get a pensionado visa. But if she wants to work, she's going to have to get the Friendly Nation visa because that's the only way you can get a work permit.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, next question is area code 541. Go ahead.
Hi, my question is dog grooming. Along with the vets, do you guys have very many dog grooming places?
Well, here in Las Tablas at our vet hospital, yes, they have dog grooming.
And we have it in Boquete available in multiple locations also.
Yes.
I figured you did, but everybody asked about that. But I do have a dog that needs to be groomed, so I just wanted to make sure that I wouldn't be the groomer all the time.
Yeah, and I know in Coronado and Panama City and in Volcan that there's groomers that are available there too. So they're available throughout Panama. Thanks for your question. So we just got two more questions. This is area code 905. Go right ahead.
Hi, guys. This is Tony from Whitby, Ontario, Canada. I just have a question. How do you handle the exchange with the U.S. dollar?
In which way? What do you mean?
Like, for instance, like we're coming down and then we got to get our retirement money coming into Panama for us. But you deal with the U.S. dollar, so the exchange is really hefty.
Mm-hmm.
But the cost of living is substantially less, too, so it balances out.
Yeah, that's right. Even with the exchange... Yeah. Even with the exchange, your cost of living is quite a bit lower, so that's why it's so cheap to live here. Even with the exchange right now, the exchange is really bad, but it's still the cost of living for me in Las Tablas is way cheaper than I would pay back at home in Canada. So it depends how you do your banking. Like I have all my banks still in Canada. And so my monthly income is deposited in my account, and then I just take it out here at the ATM machine, like whatever money I want comes out in American. I also have an American bank account in my Canadian bank, in TD Bank. Mm-hmm. And so I just draw my money out of my bank from here. I just load my money onto a credit card and just pull it out that way too. So, I mean, it just depends how you're set up for your banking. You don't need to move all your money here into Panama. You can keep your banks at home.
No, I know that. It's just like when you look at the exchange, it's like right now it's like over, it's like 56%.
It's really bad right now, yeah.
That's it. I think it's like 35%. So just an example, what are you paying for your water bill every month? I bet it's more than $7, right?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
No, my water bill here is $7.99 US. So if you convert that to Canadian dollars, it's still under $10 a month Canadian dollars. Okay,
yeah,
so
true.
that's what we're trying to explain. So
that's for two houses. It's a duplex.
Yes. And also, I mean, when I was living in Toronto and in Canada, in Calgary, in living in an apartment, I was still paying, you know, $50, $60, $100 for electricity. and I come down here and my bill's on the high end for electricity, it's still under $100 Canadian. So,
yeah.
And I'm running air. So it balances that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you so
All
much.
Right. Thank you. One more question. Area code 513. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. I'm going to sign up for your tour next January, and I was just wondering if I wanted to add, like, some time, would you suggest coming before or after the tour? And
I would recommend coming after the tour.
Yeah, after.
And the reason for that is during the tour, you're going to see a lot of different areas and a mm-hmm. lot of different price points. And then after the tour, mm-hmm. we really encourage you to go back to the area that talked to your heart the most. Go back to the area that you say, wow, I can see myself living here. And mm-hmm. spend your extra 3 days or 5 days or 7 days in that place that you really like the best.
And have you ever considered adding on any extension to, like, Bocas del Toro, or is there some reason you don't go to that area?
Actually, when I first started doing tours in 2010, 2011, and part of 2012, we did go to Bocas del Toro. So it was a longer tour, and we went over to Bocas del Toro. We only spent one night. We spent a full day and one night over there. And in 2 years of having people say, this is a great place to go visit, but I would never want to live here.
It's very touristy there.
When people say that over and over again, then I want to focus on showing you places where you might would want to live. I can also tell you that in 10 years and 122 tours, and all that time, I've had one couple that's moved to Bocas del Toro, only one that's moved to Bocas del Toro. It's very touristy. It's not very clean. And some people,
it's a young
crowd
too.
They don't like living on an island. That if you want to go anywhere, you've got to take a water taxi. If you want to go back to Panama City or you want to go to the mainland, you've got to take a water taxi, which is 45-minute water taxi to the mainland, and then you've got about a 3 or 4 hour drive to get to the closest store. So for that reason, it's just extremely isolated. A lot of people say they do go there. That's a party town. You go there for a party. You go there to have fun. Yeah. But not very many people would want to live there. In 10 years and thousands of people, I've had one couple that's moved there. So for that reason, I want to utilize the time during the tour to show you the most popular places that people might would want to live. So I don't go to Cologne. It's the highest crime in all of Panama is in Cologne. So why go there? I don't want to take people there. There's a lot of towns in Panama that I don't go to, but it's for a very good reason. There's other towns like Playa Vanell. It's 2 hours south of Gwin. It's beautiful, but it's also very isolated. You've got to drive up to Los Tablas to buy groceries. Or if you have a medical emergency, you've got to get up to Los Tablas. We just try to focus on the places where people would most likely want to live and also where it's close to amenities like a hospital, grocery stores, restaurants, other expats. And there's plenty of places where you can live where you might have to drive an hour and a half to go to the grocery store, like Santa Fe. It's a beautiful little town, cute little town. But you have to drive an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes to go into Santiago just to buy groceries. Or if you need a new pair of shoes, or if you need to see the doctor, if you need to go to the hospital. For most people coming on my tour, they're over 50, might have a little bit of medical issues, and they just don't want to be that far away from amenities. Heaven forbid if they live there right now, because the quarantine that we have in Panama, you're only allowed to leave your house for 2 hours total. For women, they can leave on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday for 2 hours. For men, can leave on Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday. Nobody's allowed to leave their house on Sunday. So if you were an hour and a half away to the closest grocery store and you could only be gone for 2 hours, this is not a good situation right now.
Yeah. And also, too, being out on the islands come during the change of the seasons, you know, rainy season, that you can't do a lot of traveling on the water back and forth, too. So
yeah, yeah, It's also buggy. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, lots of bugs.
It is, and Boca del Toro, every time I go to Boca del Toro, and honestly, I haven't been there in about 4 years, but every time I go to Boca del Toro, even though my whole body is slaughtered with bug repellent, natural bug repellent, I still come home looking like I have chicken pox because the bugs are so bad. So that's why we don't do Bocas.
Okay.
But it's
you can go there anytime you come.
It's a fun place to visit. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a very fun,
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Gwen, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the conference call to talk about your life here in Panama. There's so many choices of different places to live in Panama, and I know that some of you read some different magazines or you see something on the Internet, and it makes it sound like a certain town is this is just the Shangri-La, it's paradise. And then you get there, and some people are a little bit disappointed in what they see because it doesn't sound like that article that you read about. So that's why it's important, I think, for you to hear from people that actually live in these towns and talk about the good and the bad about living in those towns because it gives you a more realistic picture of what it's actually like there. So, Gwen, I want to thank you so much for joining us on this conference call. Sometimes when we're in Las Tablas on the tour, then Gwen joins us for lunch, and we pick her brain a little bit. And sometimes when her rental is available, we take the tour group by there to go see it. So thank you, everybody, for being on the call. And, Gwen, thank you so much for your time on the call.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Take care.